gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Warder, me, Stephanie Miller. Representative Donna Edwards, Democrat of the great state of Maryland, on the Celebrity Hotline today, along with Lieutenant General Russell Honoré. Who's that, you say? I'm going to explode the wildly held myth, Jim, that George Bush saved New Orleans after Katrina. No, it was Lieutenant General Russell Honoré. He has a great new book, Survival, How a Culture of Preparedness Can Help You and Your Family, Save You and Your Family from Disaster.
That's right.
He will be on the Celebrity Hotline. Meanwhile, slivers of light in the economy, Ben Bernanke yesterday.
We are hopeful that the very sharp decline we saw beginning last fall through early this year will moderate considerably in the near term, and that we'll see positive growth by the end of the year.
Yeah, that'd be good. I'd like to hold on to my house, if possible.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
The global warming debate heating up mostly from the hot air from the Republican side. Representative Henry Waxman.
Our committee attempting to develop a consensus. Many of the issues split us along regional basis.
Yeah, the Democrats are...
The region of the brain where Republicans don't understand science. I think that's the region
science.
That we're having trouble
science.
With.
Well, the fighting isn't between Republicans and Democrats. The fighting
I know,
is between
the Midwest and the
is among
cap,
Democrats.
Cap and trade, and I understand. We'll get into all of that. Speaking of hot, Jim, have you seen the new Miss California pictures yet? She's
yes.
got nudie pictures on the internet.
Well, there's no nip.
I'm not a fan of the fabricated boobies.
Yeah. You like them real and
we
lying.
We will go on record
they
as saying
right.
Squeezy will pass. On the fake boobies.
Yeah, that ain't right.
Mm. Oh, no! Miss Homophobe California, I mean Miss California,
yeah.
Nude pictures.
I'm going to do whatever it takes to protect marriage.
Do good.
Such as?
Oh, my.
And?
Oh, my.
Now to those nude photos of Carrie Prejean. Images that may not sit very well with her conservative supporters.
Goodness gracious me, oh my.
I can assure you they were quite inappropriate.
Overnight, Prejean put out a statement saying, I am a Christian and I am a model.
Holy guacamole.
Models pose for pictures, including lingerie and swimwear photos.
Hey now.
Prejean may also be in trouble with Miss California USA. Her contract with them prohibits her from being photographed in a state of partial or total
Oops.
Nudity.
Oops.
All I can really do is hold my head high. And such as South Africa and Iraq.
Thank you, listener Ken in Cleveland. Little montage. All right.
When Ken wrote to me and sent me that, he said he hopes that you, Jim, don't mind that he took stuff from Apocryphal But True.
Oh, no.
Yes.
No,
that's no, feel free to steal freely. Oh, I'm
oh,
sorry.
Huh? What?
Let's check some entertainment news, shall we?
There's no business like show business.
It's time for Tinsel Talk. Let's find out what's going on in Hollywood with Stephanie Miller.
Thank you very much. Our top story, Rush Limbaugh defends Sarah Palin. Isn't it sweet? Radio talk show host Rush Limbaugh is blasting Jeb Bush and Mitt Romney for insulting Sarah Palin because they feel threatened by her political rise.
Yeah,
that's it.
I'm sure that's it.
Or they could be embarrassed to be represented by such a dope.
Yes.
While neither has made any disparaging comments about the Alaska governor, these people hate Sarah Palin, Limbaugh said on the show. They despise Sarah Palin. They fear Sarah Palin. According to them, she's embarrassing.
Computer says yes.
Yes.
Well, don't fear her, though.
Limbaugh criticized ex-Florida Governor Bush for remarks he made. Bush said, to President Obama's credit, he waged a 2008 campaign that was relevant for people's aspirations. It wasn't a look back, it was a look forward. The drug-addled gas bag went on to say, the person who really looked back in the 2008 campaign was Obama.
Huh? What?
Obama looked back at the past every time he made a speech. He ripped it to shreds. He then promised to make something brand new. Open change without any specifics whatsoever.
Hmm.
Yeah, Sarah Palin, a much better idea. You guys, you go with that in 2012. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We have the rest of the drug-addled gas bags thought.
My friends, this is Rush Limbaugh with talent alone from God, a brain deep-fried in hillbilly heroin and a permanent stiffy from off-market Viagra. The abject surrender of the Republican Party to the so-called reality of their electoral decline continues unabated. The latest victim is Sarah Palin, arguably the only real conservative left in the entire field of wannabe defectors to the Democrat Party and its self-described fairness and compassion, who have taken pains to ridicule her for what they see as her embarrassing candor. No, my friends, the Specters, the Jeb Bushes, the Newt Gingriches are nothing but pale imitations of the bat crazy, devoid of contact with reality, utterly demented strain of republicanism I've spent my life to grow and nurture. Jeb Bush, where is the baseless racist hysteria and panic mongering we've counted as a core value for lo these many years? Lee Atwater must be spinning in his grave to hear you actually praise a Negro instead of waving him in front of white people like a scary emblem of tolerance gone bad. Arlen Specter, you old poot, what do you think you're doing? Are you expecting to destroy the Democrat Party from the inside? No, you treacherous carcinoma of a man. You stay outside of it and lie about it. Have I taught you nothing in all these years? No, it's Sarah, 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 the paragon of dislocated mental abilities, the doyenne of dementia, the queen of quotable craziness for yours truly. And she shoots little furry creatures. How can we go wrong if we only get behind her? And if she was a little younger, a little browner, and a little less estrogenically enhanced, I believe I'd get behind her with a vengeance. Lead on, Sarah.
Oh.
No, I have no information there.
What he does on vacation.
No.
In the Dominican Republic, which is famous for its sex trade with little boys.
What?
Specific facts? No, we're just saying.
That's nuts.
That's our versions of Fox's We Report, You Decide. Yeah. We're just saying. Okay. We're just saying.
Yeah.
Okay. And finally, the headline is Kiefer Sutherland headbutts designer at Met After Party.
What?
Great.
He
seems to have an anger management problem.
Damn it!
Kiefer Sutherland was all smiles at the Met red carpet Monday night, but according to one report, he broke a designer's nose hours later at an after party. He headbutted Jack McCullough so hard he broke the designer's nose, while guests like Mary-Kate Olsen and Kristen Dunst looked on. The actor apparently was upset.
Kirsten Dunst.
Yes. He was apparently upset over Brooke Shields.
What?
He's one half of a design duo, and as of noon... The designer was still in the hospital. Sutherland and Shields go way back, having co-starred together in the 1996 Freeway.
Huh? What?
I remember that one, sure.
No, I remember that. It was actually pretty good. Reese Witherspoon was in it.
Anyway, we have, for some reason, Carl Rove on this.
Once again, Jack Bauer has come to the rescue by not shirking his obvious duty. The headbutt or enhanced persuasion that he gave Jack McCullough was... which some terrorist sympathizers will characterize as an assault in order to make America less safe, yielded a high-value result. Instead of walking away from his depredation against Brooke Shields, he was forced to make an apology. Well, he didn't actually apologize so much as scream in pain, but anybody who knows anything about terroristic designers and their fanatical ways of rudeness knows that he was abjectly saying he was sorry. Think of it, people. Here you have a foofy designer who has knocked a gorgeous actress to the ground. What are you going to do? Ask him over and over again till he says he's sorry? Shame him? That's a laugh, as if a pitiless, ruthless, violent criminal like that could feel shame. Bar him from his favorite social functions? As if the lowest of the low cares anything for his exclusive social milieu, which is his only reason for being. Oh, how naive. No, the headbutt was totally appropriate, and since it didn't result in major organ failure, obviously completely legal. To prosecute Jack Bauer for simply doing what's right to protect America's stunning actresses from the attacks of the likes of this McCullough fella, I wonder what he changed it from. Abu McAli, Mohammed McHussein? It's just settling for little political scores, nothing more. Jack Bauer for president. Hey, Jack, I know a campaign manager will work cheap.
And I'm going home. Good. Jack Bauer is keeping America safe from fashion designers. Good. Marauding fashion designers.
Marauding.
That's all
Marauding.
For That's all for Tinsel Talk. I'm here all week. Tell your friends and play.
You talk for a living. You should know how to pronounce things.
Marauding. If you'd like
Kirsten.
If you'd like more Kirsten Dunst would never be caught marauding. Okay, if you'd like more Jim Ward folderol.
Check out Jim Ward's Apocryphal But True.
And steal from it.
Yes, that's the squeezy drops came from.
Yeah.
It's the title ad there on stephaniemiller.com. Take it right there. And when you buy the album, you get the extended EP dance mix version of It's a Blunderful Life, starring George W. Bush. For the very last time.
For the very last time, thank God.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Miss California, racy photos,
yes.
She says it's an attempt to humiliate her because of her anti-gay marriage views.
Well, then she shouldn't have taken those photos.
Exactly. Then perhaps you should keep one's clothes on.
It's not the photos that people are upset about. It's the hypocrisy.
Thank you.
Nothing wrong with her hips.
I am a Christian.
Fake boobs I'm not wild about.
I'm a Christian and I am a model. Apparently, God wants to see her boobies. That's good. Mm-hmm. God, unlike you, God likes nips, I guess.
Well, yeah, she's a model Christian.
But God didn't create those boobies.
You know.
Exactly.
Just saying.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But they are recycled. So they're green fake boobies.
I think somewhere baby Jesus is weeping. I think you're right. I don't think baby Jesus likes silicone.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Baby Jesus likes them all natural, too.
I am a Christian and I am a model. You know, it would be interesting. In many people's opinion, God made both gay people and real boobs.
That's right.
Check into it.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So maybe God really hates fake boobied homophobes the most.
And God gave
I'm you, just saying.
And God gave you the ability to say no to certain work that you feel morally against.
Unlike people on the right, I don't claim to speak for God. I'm just saying.
Well, at least she wasn't wearing two different kinds of fabric.
Exactly.
She wasn't wearing any fabric.
Yeah, well. She was wearing some peekaboo panties.
She said, I am a Christian and I'm a model. Models pose for pictures, including lingerie and swimwear photos.
That wasn't lingerie. That was nothing covering those boobies.
It doesn't seem very family, morally, value-y.
No.
Does it? No.
No.
Computer says no.
I hope she does a porno. That'd be great. Try to justify that.
All right, Squeezy. Hey, speaking of Squeezy, Hugh Grant had an intimate dinner with six models, Jim.
Hello.
Oh, my God.
Not as intimate as, the hooker on the corner of Hollywood and,
Whatever.
The group was there for hours halfway through the dinner. Grant moved his seat across to the other side to go one-on-one with a blonde who was the prettiest of the bunch.
Wow.
So that would be the intimacy. Not so much with the six of them, but then he eventually got intimate with
as far as we
one
know.
Of the... Oh, Hugh. All right, this is one of these, get ready to say, what? You're kidding. Oh, no.
You're kidding. Oh, too late.
Not,
oh,
not yet. Sorry. Ozzy Osbourne was high during the Osbournes?
What? You're kidding. Oh, no.
Oh, wow. That's a shocker.
I've never not been high. I can't remember the last time. I was actually straight.
I wouldn't have guessed from the subtitles that were needed. I wouldn't have had any clue. Ozzy Osbourne was stoned on drugs during the 3 years of filming the reality show The Osbournes, according to his wife, Sharon. As Ozzy will tell you, the whole 3 years we were filming, he was stoned. He wasn't sober for one day. Ozzy insists he only smoked drugs after the camera crew had finished filming for the day. Okay. All right, Ozzy. Okay.
After and before and during, actually. But, I don't think anyone would buy my records or some albums. I was straight,
You won't believe who Woody Allen wants banned from court. We will tell you as we continue.
Can he do that?
Apparently.
Trials and mockery. Sham. Two mockeries of mockery of a sham.
Exactly. If the trial is a mockery of a sham of a... Okay. 20 minutes after the hour, right back with that on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your information slut. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Think about direction, wonder why you have it now. Stand in the place where you were, now face.
Stephanie Miller.
Think about the place where you live, wonder why you have it now.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Woody Allen is urging the court to ban Mia Farrow. She apparently has some things to say about him that he would prefer.
No, don't speak. Sorry. Don't speak.
Travesty of a mockery, sham of a mockery, travesty.
Yeah.
Two mockeries of a sham.
Exactly. Well, that's a legal terminology. Yeah. He's desperate to prevent Mia Farrow from taking the stand in an upcoming court case. He fears lurid allegations from their custody battle will be dredged up once more.
Oh, boy.
He has a lawsuit, you know, against American Apparel.
That's right.
For using his image in billboard ads in New York and L.A. without permission. Because he says they're, greasy and immoral. And Mia Farrow has some thoughts on maybe the hypocrisy of that whole thing.
Mm.
Okay.
Whatever.
All right. Thank you. We just wanted to hear Jim's Woody Allen.
That's
which
right.
is kind of eerie.
And all also, right. Jim does a really good Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Less said about that.
Oh, dear. Arlen Specter. Gosh, I guess he wasn't kidding about not being a loyal Democrat. Did you hear this, Jim? He said he hopes Norm Coleman will be declared the winner in Minnesota's
Great.
Senate race. I guess he was having a question and answer with the New York Times Sunday Magazine,
uh-huh.
and he was asked whether he cared that there would be no more Jewish Republicans left in the Senate. After he left, and he said, I sure do. There's still time for the Minnesota courts to do justice and declare Norm Coleman the winner. The reporter quipped that that seemed as likely as Jerry Seinfeld joining the Senate. Specter didn't miss a beat. He said, well, it was about as likely as me becoming a Democrat.
Yeah, so which you didn't really.
Yeah, apparently.
Mm.
Go Joe Sestak.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I like me some Joe Sestak.
Yeah, me too. He apparently, by the way, is told somebody that he's more likely to run is what he's... yeah, exactly. What he was on?
What?
Who even knew it existed? The Bride of the Judge radio show. You know,
that's
Brian...
That's still on?
Apparently.
Brian Kilmeade and Judge Napolitano?
Judge No Forehead still have themselves a little radio show
and
somewhere.
And Brown Shoe.
Brown and Hooch fills in sometimes when... Brian is out.
Yes.
Okay. He was on the Bride of the Judge, everybody. He said Arlen Specter's switch to the Democratic Party has pushed him closer to running for the Senate seat. He said, I think that even before Arlen got in, I hadn't made that final decision yet, and I haven't. But I have to tell you, I'm a little bit more concerned than I was then. Judge No Forehead said, see, he seems more inclined to run since Specter's switch. And he said, I am. You're right, I am.
Good.
So, once again, yes. I would like a real Democrat, please.
You know what?
I would like a Democrat that is for counting the votes in places like Minnesota and realizes that Al Franken has won the race in Minnesota.
Yes. You know, it kind of sucks that we had him on last week, just hours before Arlen Specter announced his switch.
Yep.
Damn it. You know what it is? Associate producer Rebecca Baker, she's too good. She's a little too good. She's a little bit ahead of herself. She's a woman a good 5 to 10 minutes ahead of her time.
Maybe she could get Arlen Specter on to explain himself.
Yeah.
And in what sense is he really a Democrat now?
Yeah. All right. 28 minutes after the hour, Representative Donna Edwards, Democrat of the great state of Maryland. So Ben Bernanke says things are looking up
Yay.
In the economy. We will talk to her about that and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I love disco, and I hear it's making a comeback.
No.
Shush. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. As we mentioned, Ben Bernanke says the economy is looking up. If only there was somebody in the thick of things in the... What? Who is it, Chris?
Representative Donna Edwards from the great state of Maryland.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you doing?
Good
morning. Donna Edwards.
Good morning, Congresswoman. How you doing?
I'm well.
First of all, I want to get your reaction to Ben Bernanke. That was the most hopeful thing we've heard him say lately, that things seem like the recovery's on the way. What do you think?
Well, I think if the Fed chairman is saying it, then it must be correct because you know, he's been very straightforward about the kind of crisis that we're in, and so it's actually good to see him have that, to catch on to the glimmers of hope that the president was talking about, too.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think he said, you know, the unemployment rate will peak and will slowly drop, because, I mean, you know, we talk about this every day, Congresswoman, but, I mean, jobs is really... is job one, if I could put it that way, right?
Well, that's right, and I think that's why we passed the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, and the president signed it into law. You know, starting to get that money out and stem the job loss. Once we can stem the job loss, then we can create new jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's been our task thus far. And so I'm looking forward to seeing the job numbers when they come out later this week. And it's good to hear that at least some of what we're doing and the way that we've taken a hold of this crisis and not waited on it,
mm-hmm.
is beginning to pay off.
Absolutely. I mean, I've been saying that about, you know, even the swine flu, that I think the administration really got out ahead of that, as opposed to, you know, the Hurricane Katrina response during the Bush administration. You know, there's so many problems. You guys just passed the credit card holders' bill of rights. You know, because that's an issue that I think people have been talking about. People, you know, will see their interest rates raised for no reason.
Well,
right?
And it's really connected to the financial crisis. And so I think that we just did an absolutely smart thing for consumers when we passed that credit card fairness and bill of rights for consumers. And we just got to get it through the Senate with those consumer protections and you know, lower people's interest rate, give them more disposable income so that they can spend it out in the economy and spend it on their family.
Well, that's right, Congresswoman. I mean, you know, all the taxpayer knows is, you know, we're giving all this money to banks for bailouts, and, you know, either they aren't freeing up credit in some instances, or they're raising your interest rates on your credit card.
Well, that's right. Or if you live in my household, they're sending your college youngster credit card applications when he doesn't even have a job.
Yikes. I'm laughing because it's not my kid.
Yeah. Well, that happened to me when I was in college.
Really?
Yeah. I wasn't even in college yet, and they were sending me credit card applications.
Yikes.
So what we're really trying to do is protect consumers, give them some more disposable income. The other thing that is happening, and we just got a call from a constituent this morning, is those Social Security checks are starting to roll out. And so somebody received $250 in the mail and had no clue what it was, but it turns out it's $250 that Social Security recipients will receive as part of the stimulus package.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. That. I'm sorry. I don't have a college age kid or any kid, but that would be scary. Kids like all over the country could be just telling their parents, "I got a scholarship. Really, it's okay." And then you'll get that bill after
That's
4 years.
Right.
Whoops. Tell us about the one of the big issues, obviously, for workers and unions is the Employee Free Choice Act. Talk to us about that.
Well, you know, I mean, it's time that employees in this country really have the right to organize and form a union if they decide to, and to have somebody bargain for them collectively. I mean, I think it makes sense for workers. Smart businesses know that it makes sense for them. You have only to take a look at what's going on in the auto industry, where the workers, through their unions, are a real partner with the industry in trying to find a solution for the domestic automakers. And so it would be, I think, really prudent for this Congress and the President to sign into law the Employee Free Choice Act to give workers a better bargain for the future. And then we're going to take health care off the table for employers so that they're not bearing that burden and you know, give employees rights that they deserve at work. I mean, that's the American way.
Yeah, well, absolutely. Arlen Specter, I know, he's already said he's going to vote against it, right? I mean,
well, he said that, but he needs to hear from Pennsylvania workers. There are a lot of workers throughout the state of Pennsylvania who are hardworking union workers who understand what it means to have a union to bargain for them and through which to work. And I think that Senator Specter, now Democratic Senator Specter, is going to hear from those people in the state of Pennsylvania, and that's important.
Congresswoman, did you hear that Democratic Senator, as you say, Carl Inspector, just said he hopes that Norm Coleman wins in Minnesota?
Well, I hadn't heard that yet. I have to tell you, I mean, we have to, I think we got to be careful about the kind of bargains that, that are struck. And I mean, I'm glad that we're able to add another, you know, prospectively, Democratic vote, especially on some of those procedural matters, in the United States Senate. But our job is to convince the American people, our job as Democrats is to convince the American people that, the President of the United States, who's a Democrat, is moving forward in the right way for the American people. And that this Congress, led by Democrats, is getting us out of this economic crisis, is going to solve our health care problems, and is going to put us into the 21st century when it comes to energy.
Well, absolutely. Speaking of which, I know you're, you know, you're, you have global warming legislation before you there in the Congress. You know, once again, it just seems like the president does keep trying to reach out to Republicans, and in some, you know, in some ways, I know what you mean about these bargains we're making when they just don't seem to be reaching back at all. You know,
well,
I mean, the global warming, they have, it's the same ideas, you know, over and over again from them, right? I mean, it's, you know, drill, baby, drill, and then they have the same, you know, the same answers every time this comes up, don't they?
It really is. I mean, I have to tell you, I mean, from my perspective, the Republican Party is falling apart. It has no vision, it has no leadership, and it has no game plan. And,
now, Congresswoman,
and I think they can't just keep saying, they can't just keep saying no on these issues that are really important to the American people and impact our global competitiveness.
Right. Now, Congresswoman, that's not entirely fair. There were an entire 50 people at the pizza parlor for the Republican rebranding party the other day.
and if I could have gotten free pizza, I might have gone.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what we said yesterday, Congresswoman. I think that's her only new idea is free twisty bread for everybody.
Well, you know what? All I have to say is that the president is doing exactly the right thing and trying to reach across the aisle and bring Republicans on board with an agenda that's about a change for the future. And their job is to reach back. And if they don't, our job is to move forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, talk to us about the climate change bill, because, you know, House Republicans are dead set against, of course, any cap and trade legislation at all. You know, I know an environmental group said the Republican idea is looking an awful lot like business as usual, but we also have some debate between Democrats. Tell us about that.
Well, we do. I mean, I think, you know, we have a significant challenge ahead of us on the environment, and we have to do things that are going to make it, you know, create disincentives for producing carbon and carbon emissions. And we're in 2015, we're going to reach peak carbon emissions. And so the question is, where do we go from that point forward? And I think that we have to ramp up investments in renewables, from wind to solar, you know, biofuels, you name it, so that we can create the kind of diversity we need in our energy supply, that will both protect the environment and also, you know, contribute to our competitiveness. And, so this is a no-brainer, for me. And at some point, the people who are polluting have to pay for it.
Yep, absolutely. Congresswoman, thank you for doing the Lord's work. We have no free twisty bread for you, but you do have our undying thanks.
Thank you, Stephanie. Take care.
All right, Congresswoman, talk to you again. There she goes. Yay! From the great state of Maryland.
This just in, Arlen Specter has decided he's no longer from the state of Pennsylvania, so
no?
He doesn't have to listen to those icky county workers.
Can you do that?
Actually, we do have some breaking Arlen Specter news.
Oh, really? Dear.
Yeah, Arlen Specter is telling Congressional Quarterly and the Huffington Post that he misspoke.
Oh, did he now?
Yeah.
When he said he hopes Norm Coleman wins?
Yes. Uh-huh. He now supports Franken.
Oh, really?
I see.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
He says he got confused, you know, switching maybe caucuses and all.
Yeah.
Easy mistake
that's,
to make.
That's
Coleman, uh-huh. Franken, Coleman. Yeah. They look and sound
and
so
actually,
much alike.
The hope Coleman wins is kind of a little odd since Coleman has lost.
Yeah.
So mathematically, it's, first of all, not possible.
Right. Okay. And I have a link to that Huffington Post story at my Twitter feed.
Aren't you something?
Twitter.com/RadioGuyChris.
I just temporarily forgot that I had switched to the Democrat Party. What's
Oops.
Sorry? Democratic Party.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks.
All right.
Thanks, Arlen.
All right. We just spoke to the great Congresswoman about the global warming legislation before them. We will tell you all the latest on that. Republicans on the Hill still screaming that the global warming legislation amounts to nothing more than an energy tax.
Yeah.
Oh, the ideas are so new. 43 minutes, even without the twisty bread. 43 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Whoa, that was cool.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it, 48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, just the headline says it all. Democrats maneuver to advance U.S. climate change bill. Meaning they have to maneuver around Republicans not believing in
science.
Yes.
Well, also, Democrats,
to some degree,
Democrats need to maneuver around themselves because they're fighting in amongst themselves.
I understand. That's what we do. We're not members of an organized party. Committee Chairman Henry Waxman said he would leapfrog a subcommittee and have the controversial legislation voted on by the full committee before his end of May deadline for the panel to act. House Republicans, of course, saying they're dead set against any cap-and-trade legislation at all. An official of a one environmental group said the Republican ideas, quote, look an awful lot like business as usual. Damn it! Damn that pizzeria! No new ideas came out of that pizzeria of an idea.
Did they actually get branded while they were there? Just hot pokers? And,
yes.
Big R on their butt.
Representative Henry Waxman.
Under the cap and trade bill, we are trying to be mindful of the regional concerns and the ratepayers, particularly the consumers.
So Midwestern states, right? That's what you're talking about, Chris. They rely heavily on coal, a major emitter of carbon dioxide, to power electric utilities. Mm-hmm. Republicans as well as some Democrats have some amendments to the bill, including measures to kill cap and trade. So it could take a while to wade through this.
Yeah, it's not just Midwestern states. I mean, Neil Abercrombie from Hawaii is against cap and trade.
What does Fitch think?
What? Gene Green from Texas is against it. So it's not just the Midwestern states. It's just Democrats in all areas. Mm.
Representative Butterfield from North Carolina.
I want those plants to lower their carbon emissions, but I want to give them some time so they can do it without literally costing our businesses and my consumers countrywide.
Here he is, Representative Abercrombie from the great state of Hawaii.
The mandate to require the states to derive 25% of its electricity from renewable sources by the year 2025. That's going to be incredibly difficult for many states, including my state of North Carolina.
Actually, that was G.K. Butterfield. Before that, we heard from Gene Green of Texas.
Pardon me.
Yeah, you were.
I'm ahead of myself.
Yeah, I think you're a little one off there on the
list.
I'm
so excited about the advance of science. I got ahead of myself. Okay. Okay, who is this now?
This is a representative, Neil Abercrombie, from the great state of
Hawaii. The great state of Hawaii, which is still great.
We're not here today providing an alternative to the activities now taking place in the Energy Committee, which have essentially stalled to the point that the president himself has to come up to Capitol Hill today to speak with the Energy Committee members to see if they can advance what is at best a peripheral aspect of dealing with the whole question of alternative energy and climate change.
I don't think this legislation is going to make it. I don't think it is.
Must they send Al Gore? I think Al Gore must come with the charts again.
Well, he appeared on Capitol Hill earlier this week, and he didn't sway anybody. So I don't think this legislation is going to pass.
Representative Mike Pence, he's that right-wing tool I just did the panel on the Fairness Doctrine with.
Yes.
He's the one that's trying to kill my career and take kibble out of my dog's mouths by making sure there couldn't possibly be any more progressive radio stations in the country. Anyway, he was on, did you see him on Hardball yesterday? Chris Matthews gave him a little bit of an ass whooping. He's like, you're playing party. You don't believe in science. I mean, you have no credibility. On the issue. Mike Pence on the issue.
It amounts to nothing short of a national energy tax.
Yeah, Chris Matthews asked him if he believed in evolution. And Mike Pence couldn't answer.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. We have some swine flu breaking news. Texas has confirmed the first flu death of a U.S. resident. Yesterday they hadn't confirmed it was swine flu, but I'm told this morning that they have.
Mm-hmm.
Texas health officials announced the first death of a U.S. resident, saying she's a 33-year-old school teacher who had recently given birth to a healthy baby. So that's very sad. They had stopped short of saying it was swine flu, and the woman also had chronic underlying health conditions, as did the... the baby that died also had, I guess some underlying problems.
Well, also, it was a baby. So, babies don't have fully formed immune systems yet. That's why they're most at risk.
Listen, I have a puppy. I know all about this. Oliver!
Mommy's little baby dog. He can't go out for maybe 6 more weeks. Okay.
Really?
Yes, he hasn't had all his shots yet.
So he poops in the house?
Yes. No, I have a yard. He goes in the yard. He can't go out anywhere else because he has no immunity.
Well, the yard is out.
I know, but other things can't get into the yard because it's, you know, there's a fence or...
Whatever.
Listen, don't make me...
Coyotes can jump that wall.
No, they can... What?
Yes, they can.
Oh, they can't?
Uh-huh.
Oh, no. All right, I guess he's pooping in the house from now on.
Oh, good. Okay. That'll be... Stinky.
All right. So what the is going on with the Supreme Court nomination? Orrin Hatch opened his yap and said he thinks the White House will make an announcement at the end of the week.
Computer says no.
The White House says no.
No, yeah. No. Then Robert Gibbs said what Orrin Hatch meant to say
Shut
was...
Shut your hatch. Yeah, he's sounding all threatening already for the fill-in-the-blank judicial activist empathetic...
whatever.
...communist that apparently will be appointed that he will eventually be against. The White House said the president will not be announcing a Supreme Court nomination this week. He ruled out a time frame when asked about Orrin Hatch's comments. Gibbs said flatly it is not going to happen this week.
Yeah.
So there.
Yeah, you know, Karl Rove was on Bill O'Reilly last night. You know, you make me watch that. Mm-hmm. And actually, mm-hmm. Karl Rove had a good point.
Mm.
Well, yeah, because George W. Bush didn't have to nominate anyone to the Supreme Court until well into... his presidency. And so that gave the White House a whole lot of time to do a lot of background, you know, searches and whatnot. This is really early in Obama's presidency, so they haven't had the time to do the background research on a bunch of people yet. So I don't see a nomination coming
very
soon.
Yeah, but if you know anything about the Obama, you know, administration, they prepare ahead. And I'm told they've been obviously talking about this for a long time. They knew he was going to have a vacancy. They just didn't know when or where. So
What's a long time, though? He's only been in office since January.
I understand, but I'm saying, knowing him and knowing the way they prep, I think that he's probably, you know.
All right.
All right. Hey, speaking of, you know, every time I see Karl Rove, what do I think, Jim? What do I think when I see him on TV?
Why isn't he in prison trading cigarettes for his life?
Yes, that's mm-hmm. exactly it.
Computer says yes.
Speaking of which, could I have some fine American music? I love me some Chris Dodd, don't you, Jim? Speaking of people that ought to be in prison that he's speaking about yesterday, like Dick Cheney. He has gone considerably further in calling for hearings and possibly a criminal investigation into Bush-era interrogation tactics and suggests a probe may need to focus on Dick Cheney's staff. He must listen to my show. I said I can cut through the clutter up there on, Capitol Hill. Just have me in to testify. Dick Cheney, any question you want to ask, Dick Cheney. It all goes to Dick Cheney. For openers, Dodd criticizes the White House for declassifying...
I'm always in for Dick.
Exactly. Thank you.
What movie is this from?
Hello. Just a minute. Dick, are you in?
I'm always in for Dick.
For openers, Dodd criticizes the White House for declassifying the torture memos without having a follow-up plan for dealing with the fallout, saying, I don't know who the genius was in the room that night. Dodd then talks about his father's involvement in the Nuremberg trials and the issue of the rule of law, much like I do. Almost every day. Even these thugs got a lawyer. Even these thugs got a trial, he said, of the Nazi defendants. He said, in a sense, not to prosecute people or pursue them when these acts have occurred is to invite it again in some future administration. Yeah, I'm not as, complacent as John McCain, who's like, we won't do it again. It won't happen again.
I promise it'll never happen
again. It'll never happen again.
Yeah, and Condi thinks the Nazis were no big deal. Because Al-Qaeda was the worst ever.
Yeah. When a questioner asked him if such a probe should go as high as Cheney's office, Dodd interrupted to say, you got to go where you got to go. Thank you.
By the way, Dodd, you know what you can do with yourself.
What's that?
You can go yourself.
With what? Okay. All right. That's the part I always wait for. In the slightly less good news, Bush administration lawyers who approved harsh interrogation techniques of terror suspects should not face criminal charges. Justice Department investigators say in a draft report that recommends two of the three attorneys face possible professional sanctions, like disbarment.
Well, you don't want
none.
Those amateur sanctions.
No.
You got to get the professional ones.
We will talk about that some more. And also, Obama and Biden went out for burgers, everybody.
Hooray!
We'll find out what they talked about next in Stand Up News on The Stephanie Miller Show.
gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Lieutenant General Russell Honoré on the Celebrity Hotline next hour to talk about his new book, Survival, How a Culture of Preparedness Can Save You and Your Family from Disaster.
And he knows a little something about saving families from disaster.
Why is that?
Because he saved the city of New Orleans after Bush mucked it up.
What? Bush mucked it up?
After Katrina.
I hadn't heard that.
Uh-huh.
Interesting. All right. The good news is Ben Bernanke, the Federal Reserve Chairman, says things are looking up.
We continue to expect economic activity to bottom out, then to turn up later this year. An important caveat is that our forecast assumes continuing gradual repair of the financial system. A relapse in financial conditions would be a significant drag on economic activity and could cause the incipient recovery to stall. We expect that the recovery will only gradually gain momentum and that economic slack will diminish slowly. In particular, businesses are likely to be cautious about hiring, implying that the unemployment rate could remain high for a time, even after economic growth resumes.
That sounds pretty good.
All right. And the Supreme Court nomination will not be this week, according to the White House. Senator Harry Reid with some thoughts on that.
This virus does not seem to be...
Oh, wait a minute. I believe that was supposed to be Senator
breathing helium.
Senator Harry Reid on the Supreme Court nomination. Senator Harry Reid.
Well, I personally would like to see us get away from you have to be a judge to be a Supreme Court justice. I think it would be good. We could get a governor. We could get a senator or former senator. Some people with some real life experiences for a while rather than people who walk around these black robes all the time.
How about Miss California? She doesn't walk around in anything.
Hey.
Also, the GOP rebranding is proceeding apace. Here is Mitt Romney on the meeting of the 50 people in the pizza parlor.
Our party is a big tent party. We have folks of different perspectives. We've always been that way.
It's a big pizza tent party.
It's a big pizza tent party. Okay. Meanwhile, by the way, you can twit Chris LeBoy, can't you, Chris?
Yes, you can. Twitter.com/RadioGuyChris.
You could take your organ out for me as well, could you? The U.S. Church is, because you are, now they're doing it too. U.S. churches are using Twitter to reach a wider audience. The sight of churchgoers typing messages into mobile phones during a service has become increasingly common as clergy seek new ways of reversing declining attendance figures. Pastors in West Winds Community Church in Michigan spent 2 weeks teaching their congregation about Twitter. The church encourages congregants to ask questions about a sermon that the pastor can answer later. Alternative, they can tweet during the service in case another worshiper can provide enlightenment. Hmm. The church has held at least a dozen Twitter Sundays. Can I just say that I think Twittering, I think it makes baby Jesus cry. The church has held...
Somewhere Jesus is weeping.
That's what I think. In North Carolina, they have Twitter fests at one church. They advise parishioners, if God leads you to continue this as a form of worship, by all means do it. I don't think God's a fan of the YouTube or the Facebook or the Twittering or the...
Whatever!
I just don't. All right. Or, as we said last hour, fake boobs. Just saying, Miss California.
That's right.
God made gay people and real boobs. Okay. I found a future husband. Someone has sent me a British paramedic is facing disciplinary action for trying to buy a bottle of wine wearing just socks and a thong. See, this is something I'd do. Listen to how this went down. Before the incident...
I'm sure the people at Liquor Barn have seen you in just socks and a thong before.
Listen, whatever you can throw on.
Maybe he was getting ready to make sexy time with the wine.
Before the incident, the fully clothed ambulance driver was told by the cashier he could not purchase wine while in uniform. Annoyed, he then stormed out of the store, walked over to his vehicle, took off his clothes, and returned in his thong underwear, which is something that I would have thought of. And then he said, I'm not wearing my uniform. Can you serve me now? See the logic behind that?
Okay.
All right. Let's check some news we don't want to lose, shall we, kids? Here we go.
Yippee! Yippee! It's time for stand-up news. And now, here's anchor person, Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. When news breaks here at Stays Broken, our top story, boner. The boner has insulted the Congressional Hispanic Caucus in his new terrorism video. The Congressional Hispanic Caucus not amused with Republican House Leader John Boehner's boner. New web ad, which features footage of terrorists, pictures of the president with the Saudi king, and directly juxtaposes the president's greeting of Hugo Chavez with a photograph of the president with the Hispanic caucus.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Boehner's office issued
a
gutless denial. This is beyond silly. The video also includes an image of the president speaking at the House Democratic retreat in Virginia. Is the Congressional Hispanic Caucus suggesting that every Democrat in the House is connected with terrorists? Of course not. America's national security is serious. This complaint is not. What a boner.
You are an idiot.
I'm sure that was a complete coincidence.
Yeah, right.
The Congressional Hispanic Caucus is right after the Hugo Chavez picture. We have the boner on this, I believe.
What my first priority was, and is, and ever shall be, to ensure that the American people are safe. Safe from scary brown people. Not that there's anything wrong with being brown. I myself am brown. Downtown brown, brown as a berry, nut brown, like ale. No, it's the scary browns. Browns with mustaches and burnooses and browns with chimichangas and carne asada and not enough fear of America. Oh, and the browns with leaf blowers and lawnmowers. Browns with the brown flu. Keep America safe, you have to say to yourself, ask not what the browns are doing for you, ask what you can do to the browns to screw them up good. The only thing we have to fear is brown itself. I mean, think about the jobs that went away when the browns came, and ask yourself, what are we going to stand up for? I really never wanted to make America safe. That's got to be the top of our list. When are we going to take the browns on? When are the Cleveland Browns ever going to play in the Super Bowl, let alone win one? Why do they change their name to the Whites? It's not easy being white. Why isn't everyone part of the undercoating? It's going to be the top of their list.
Oh, dear. Poor Boehner. And finally, a group of about 100 people lined up at the corner of Quinn and Wilson Boulevard in Arlington, Virginia, across the street from a small strip mall that is home to Ray's Hell Burger. The man they were waiting to see emerged around 1:06 p.m. after dining with Vice President Joe Biden and won cheers from those in the crowd that could see him wearing white shirt sleeves. President Barack Obama stood up and on what appeared to be a car and waved after eating burgers with the Vice President. We have some audio from that, I believe.
So, Joe, you feeling any better about being in a crowded room full of people? Still wishing you had a hazmat suit?
No, sir. I guess I kind of went over the top a little on those public transportation comments.
You can say that again.
I guess I kind of went over the top a little with those... It's
just an expression, Joe.
I understand that, Mr. President. I was just pulling your leg on that one.
Joe, let go of my leg. I know you're a big physical contact guy, but it's not necessary to actually pull my leg.
Point taken, sir.
I notice you haven't touched your burger.
No, sir. Did you know that E. coli is found in 3.7% of ground beef sold in this country?
Oh, boy. Here we go.
It can lead to abdominal cramping and bloody diarrhea.
I'm trying to eat here, Joe.
And can even cause hemolytic uremic syndrome, which can result in renal failure and even blindness.
Joe, say it ain't so.
It can even result in seizures, comas, and cerebral blood clots that can even damage the lining of the large intestine to the point that the darn thing has to be removed.
Check, please.
And don't get me started on mad cow disease.
Damn it, Joe. I can't take you anywhere. I want you on a plane to Antarctica, ASAP, or anywhere they don't have microphones.
Right away, Mr. President. You gonna finish those fries?
Knock yourself out. No, seriously, knock yourself out. Just stop talking.
Yes, sir.
That's all for stand-up news. I'm here all week. Tell your friends if you'd like more Jim Ward's Bald Roll.
Jim Ward's apocryphal but true. Check it out. There's a title ad on the Stephanie Miller website. That'll be stephaniemiller.com.
Thank you. Carson in Albuquerque, New Mexico, on the fabulous new Republican branding. Hello, Carson.
Hello, Steph. Yeah, here's some ideas to help the Republicans rebrand themselves while maintaining your show's excellent intellectual integrity. bigots overreacting to overreacting to Obama's generally excellent reception or booger. Social conservatives against Barack's success, or the scabs. You have theologians uniting Republican donors, or turd. crazed Republicans analyzing policy, or crap. And this one's for you, Stephanie.
Yes.
You have the Bush Legacy Project spreading falsehoods about Republican torture, or fart.
Ah, thank you very much, sir. He put work into that. He gets a little T-ball trophy. All right. Good. Buddy in Columbus, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Gay Marriage. Hello, buddy.
Hey, the Maine legislature just passed allowing gay marriage. So you know what they're going to say?
In Spain.
Yeah, yep.
So you know what they're going to say?
Maine. Oh, did you say Maine or Spain?
Maine.
Maine.
Yeah, well, I know about Maine. We reported that yesterday.
No, but it just passed.
They're here. They're queer. We don't care. Give me my damn chowder.
Right. In Bahaba.
All right. Thank you, honey. The something in my head was probably with the rain in Spain or something.
Whatever.
Okay.
The gays in Spain?
Hey, did I mention the Maine? The breaking news is the Maine House of Representatives, by a vote of 89 to 57, approved a bill that will allow couples to marry in Maine. The governor has not said yet whether he will sign the marriage bill into law, veto it, or allow it to become law without his signature. Keep our eyes on that.
So we don't know yet if he can get that from here.
Yep.
Yep.
That's a good one. We don't know if we can get to gay marriage from here yet, until the governor says. Okay. In a related breaking news story, the Washington, D.C. Council yesterday gave final approval to legislation that recognizes same-sex marriages performed in areas where they are legal.
Yay for gay!
The vote was 12-1. You want to know who voted against it?
Who?
Marion Barry.
He's still around?
He cast the
bitches
lone...
keep setting him up.
The bitches set him up again to look like a homophobe. You see how that happens?
Yeah.
I just love that he's casting moral judgment on gays. That is rich. He cast the lone opposing vote after a revote. He called it an agonizing and difficult decision made after prayer and counseling with the religious community.
Or whatever.
Whoever counseled him after his... crack incident.
Yeah.
Okay. The issue now goes before Congress, which has final say over the city's laws. Congressional Republicans, of course, vowing they will all do all they can to block it. The Congressional Review could be the new Congress's first opportunity to signal its appetite for reexamining the Defense of Marriage Act.
I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Which bars federal recognition of same-sex marriages and allows states to do the same. D.C., by the way, here are some fun facts about D.C., if you know the history of this. They already have a domestic partner registry that was enacted in 2007 to the ire of Republicans.
That's right.
Who went insane over the giving of rights to the gays.
You know, it really sucks that all everything that passes in D.C. has to go through Congress.
I know.
Because Congress does not represent D.C. in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. The registry allows same and opposite sex unmarried couples to register their relationships and includes such partner rights as hospital and nursing home visitations. Medical decisions and inheritance rights. After the law was passed, then-President George W. Bush threatened to veto a bill in Congress providing federal funding to the district. In general, unless a cause was added stating the money could not be used to fund the domestic partner registry, because the gays were not allowed to play in any of their reindeer games, including...
From now on, gays,
yes,
we won't let Rudolph join in any reindeer games.
Including visiting their dying loved ones in the hospital and things like that.
Whatever.
Okay.
D.C. needs to become a state.
Yep.
So that they can take care of their own affairs without having to go through Congress.
Yes.
Taxation without representation.
Yes.
Yes. All right. I mentioned the breaking news over the interrogation memos that they are not likely to charge the lawyers who wrote the memos. We'll tell you what that means as we continue 20 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Well, I guess that makes our naughty parts tingle.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, we have some more breaking news on the President's burger and his fries. Sam in Providence, Rhode Island. Hello, Sam.
Hello, it is I, the official, I don't want to be the official anything, of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank you, sir.
Jim, I know that you're a big fan of accuracy. I know that from the Guess the Quotes that Stephanie plays with you all the time. They didn't have fries at the restaurant.
There were no fries.
They didn't have fries at the restaurant?
He ordered fries. They didn't have fries. He had the cheese and tater tots, which are a specialty of the place.
Damn it. All right.
Totally got to redo the whole business.
Wait a minute. You said cheese and tater tots?
I believe so.
Oh, my God. That sounds good.
It's delicious. Thank you, Sam. The Stephanie Miller Show wishes to apologize for Jim Ward's inaccuracy on the president's choice of potato products yesterday.
I've got cheese and tater tots. Oh, my God. God.
You're not going to concentrate the rest of the show,
no,
are you?
No, I'm going to be going out and getting me some cheese and tater tots
kind of
after the show.
Ethan in Sacramento on the Republican rebranding. Hi, Ethan.
Hey, Stephanie. You know, the Republican Party has been, I mean, it's not destroyed. I used the wrong term in talking to Rebecca earlier. But, I mean, their reputation, I mean, who wants to join a party that is filled with old guys, bitter, that cling to their... I mean, and that's like, and when Obama said they cling to their guns, that's exactly it. I mean, I'm not saying this for every Republican, but, you know, the Republican Party is such... I mean, it's hateful. I mean, they're not going to change a thing. I mean, unless they are...
You can get free twisty bread, though.
Of course.
All right.
Sort of like join the dark side and... We have cookies, et cetera.
Exactly, but, exactly. All right, Ethan. Thank you, honey.
Ethan's voice dropped.
I know it.
Wow.
All right.
Good for him.
He's inching ever closer to my future husband list.
That's right.
All right.
Just a couple more years to go.
All right. Yes, the drug-addled gas bag, speaking of the Republican rebranding, he defended Sarah Palin yesterday.
Yes, he did.
Who is not embarrassing in any way, and I agree with Rush that should be your candidate in 2012.
They despise Sarah Palin. They fear Sarah Palin. They don't like her either. She's, according to them, she's embarrassing.
No.
No.
She is not.
No, she's great. She's the greatest candidate you could ever feel.
Yeah, you rock on. That's it. By the way, these things just sort of write themselves, these whole, you know.
Right-wing hypocrites.
Bristol Palin joins National Teen Pregnancy Awareness Campaign.
Is she aware that she was a teen pregnancy?
She's decided to become a bit of a cautionary tale.
I guess so.
I don't think there's anything else for her to be.
I said tale.
Yeah, you did. She certainly got some with Levi.
Oh, now.
What?
There, now.
I got some cautionary tale. Because, snow machine.
Okay. Oh, dear. Unwed. So what is this organization called? Virgins or what? I don't understand.
I don't know.
Unwed mother Bristol Palin is going to take part in a national campaign to help raise awareness.
Oh, we're plenty aware.
We're aware.
We sure aware. Your party is a great big
deal. Right-wing hypocrites.
The Candies Foundation announced on its website, the foundation says the daughter of Sarah Palin has been appointed one of its teen ambassadors.
All right.
About.
I think there's a better example they could come up with than unwed mother Bristol Palin.
Oh, I like that. I like it. I like it. Because they're the party that talks about family values. By the way, how is that wedding going between that they spoke so much about at the Republican convention, she and her fiancé?
No, not anymore.
Oh, dear. Hmm.
There's a little bit of bad blood between the two families,
oh,
I'd say.
Dear.
That snow machine has sailed out of the barn.
Yes, thank you, Levi. 28 minutes after the hour, back with more exciting Republican rebranding next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She's lovely. And a darling figure. Supple, pouting breasts. Firm thighs.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 33 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Mike in Albuquerque on our Republican friends and their rebranding. Hello, Mike.
Yeah, hi. Here is part of their rebranding. They've introduced a new stimulus package. They're running a buy one, get one free special.
Uh-huh. Oh, is that the joke? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Missed that. You know what? I had so much respect for that joke, I gave it a moment of silence first before it sunk
before
in.
Before it died.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Okay. He knows how I felt at Yuck Yucks.
Yeah.
Ed in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show with a beaver stack. Hello, Ed.
Yes, yes. We've got a beaver problem.
Oh, dear.
Up in the land of Palin. Yeah.
Oh,
serious. My wife's a flight nurse up there, and they had to take a guy out of Dillingham, where they also have the beaver roundup in March.
Oh, but, dear.
Yeah, yeah. But
so, you sometimes need to control your beaver.
Yeah, but what they do up there, they've been doing it for thousands of years, is they pickle beaver.
Oh, hello.
And then they bury it.
They hello. Bury the beaver?
I've heard of bananas, but that's not.
In the tundra.
Oh, in the tundra.
But some do-gooders said that you should wrap it up in a baggie. And
you need to put
your beaver?
In the baggie, yeah.
Won't that suffocate it?
Before you eat it. Well,
it needs to breathe.
It causes botulism.
Oh, ow.
But the guy did survive, so.
Good.
Wow.
Don't put your beaver in a baggie.
Thank you. No. Thank you for that cautionary tale, Ed. We appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, beavers need to breathe.
Yes. Wow. Beaver botulism, that is, wow-wee. Okay.
Sure Joe Biden will be talking about that soon.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to put your beaver in a baggie.
Or a sealed container.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what it is? This Republican rebranding, it's got us all Twitter. It's got us all crazy.
Mm-hmm.
With excitement. All right, Bill O'Reilly on the rebranding of the...
Right now, the Democratic Party holds almost all the cards, as you know. President Obama is successful turning the economy around. The Dems may even become more dominant in the years to come.
Uh-oh.
That scenario is not really healthy for the USA, as a vibrant two-party system is needed in order to solve complex problems and prevent the arrogance and corruption of entrenched ideology.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're worried about that.
Yeah. Interesting spin on the disastrous failure of the Republican Party as of late. Okay. O'Reilly again on
the GOP. Let me spell this out so that even the Republican leadership can understand it. Get solutions to problems. Explain your culture war positions clearly and without spite.
Mm-hmm.
And most importantly, stick up for America.
Oh.
Because the Democrats are certainly not doing that.
You know, for being a self-proclaimed independent, as Bill O'Reilly says he is, he sure cares a little too much about allowing the GOP to succeed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting.
And making the Dems fail.
That doesn't sound fair.
No, it doesn't.
Right up the middle kind of guy.
That's what he says he is.
So Democrats don't stand
about the
up.
Folks.
Democrats don't stand up for America.
No, they don't.
That's his point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not when they go around hugging Hugo Chavez and all
I see.
He's not for the folks.
And when George Bush held hands with the Saudi prince and then stuck his tongue in his ear, that's different.
I dare say that
Hugo's looking out for the folks.
I dare say that Hugo Chavez is more for the folks than the Saudi prince is.
Mm-huh.
Hugo Chavez, at least
being democratically elected and all.
Yeah, and you know he helped to get cheap heating oil for folks here in America.
That's right.
Hmm.
So cares about his folks and our folks.
Yeah.
Hmm.
A lot more than O'Reilly does. When did O'Reilly get the cheap heating oil for the folks?
I don't think. Is there any word on that?
No, nothing.
Nothing for the folks.
Yeah, we didn't get a press release.
Okay. Sean Hannity on the rebranding, and they ought to listen to Sean Hannity and his friend Rush as much as possible on what to do.
I think what has been missing from the Republican Party is an articulate vision for the conservative message applied to, and those principles applied to modern day. The party of national defense, energy independence, fiscal responsibility, free market solutions, health care, education, and the party of the American dream. I've said this a lot, but here's my point. I promise I'll give you the last word. If they do that, they would inspire people to understand conservatism. I don't see a lot of articulate conservative Republicans out there. I think conservatism has been missing from the Republican Party.
Did they just replace Alan Combs with an oxygen machine?
Yes.
So that he can breathe in the midst of his run-on Republican talking points?
Oh, God.
That was hilarious. I've never heard him gasp for air before. He has... He can do a long. I mean, it's like the people that can stand on water the longest. He can do a longer Republican talking point than anyone I know in the media.
Apparently, Mark Levin can Twitter faster than Sean can talk. So,
and thanks for playing Grasping for Straw.
Gasping for air.
Gasping for air.
He's gasping like Dick Morris.
Yeah.
Why don't they just cut out the middleman and just show, Mark Levin's tight?
Do they have the oxygen thing just sitting right where Alan Combs used to? And then when he.
I'm a sea conservative.
On the road to socialism, and we're also. I have to hear that again. Can I hear the part where he gasps for breath again?
Yeah.
I think what has been missing from the Republican Party is an articulate vision for the conservative message applied to, and those principles applied to modern day. The party of national defense, energy independence, fiscal responsibility, free market solutions, health care, education, and the party of the American dream. I've said this a lot, but here's my point. Well, I promise I'll give you the last word. If they do that...
It's the one time he went on the run-on talking for just a couple seconds too long.
A couple of parenthetical phrases inserted in there.
Give me the last word as soon as I get oxygen.
Yeah, he sounds like Dick. Because Dick Morris always sounds like he just ran up a burning staircase, doesn't he?
He's always... I got to catch my breath. I've been sitting down for 10 minutes. I got a toenail caught in my...
Well, that's true. Dick Morris, it's usually a prostitute's toenail that's caught in his throat.
He's been known to suck prostitute toes.
He's a little rotund. I think he probably gets winded just walking over to the...
What do you mean a little rotund?
He gets winded just walking over to the chair.
He does.
Just bringing him on the set.
I just have my windpipe. It's completely surrounded by fat.
They have to have a special cart made for Dick Morris to wheel him on the set.
They have, you know what? They have Olivia Soprano's wheelchair that comes down the stairs. It's just the electric wheelchair brings him down.
Anyway, Sean, what I was saying about Hillary...
Okay, that's enough of the fat
okay,
jokes.
Abby in San Francisco.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Two things. First of all, this this four-year, quote-unquote, investigation of the Justice Department into the OLC, the Office of Legal Counsel, Attorney Bybee and you. I mean, this is essentially the Bush Justice Department investigating the Bush Justice Department, so I'm not sure how credible that is.
Well, I mean, here's the only thing I held up hope, Abby, is that Eric Holder may make his own determination about what steps to take once the report has been finalized, but you're talking about the, they're saying that they don't think the lawyers are going to face criminal prosecution. But perhaps like bar, you know, disbarment.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Well, and on Eric Holder, why has he not replaced the U.S. attorneys? Aren't they supposed to do that? Sweep them all out and get new ones? I mean, the in Alabama, Don Siegelman is going to have the same judge.
God. It's insane.
Yep.
You know, he's going to have to face that same judge who's Karl Rove's buddy's wife or whatever it is.
Well, and here's what I don't know, Abby, not being a lawyer, is, okay, if these lawyers that wrote the torture memos aren't facing prosecution, is it still possible to prosecute the people that ordered them to write the memos?
Right. Well,
which,
let's hope so.
Dick Cheney.
Yeah.
Let me just get to the point. Dick Cheney. You know, the, what do you call it, director for the Center for Constitutional Rights said the not to see the decision not to see criminal charges against the lawyers who wrote the torture memos is inconceivable given all we know about the twisted logic of these memos. The only reason for such a decision is to provide political cover for people inside the Obama White House so they don't have to pursue what needs to be done. So this is not a good sign to me, but I'm holding, keeping my powder dry for a moment. All right. Dave in Minneapolis on our good friend Sean Hannity. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Mama. I was channel surfing and by mistake went by Fox News last night. And Sean Hannity reminded me of the drunk guy at the party who's going, hey, guys, look at me do this. Look at me. I can do this. I really can. Because he was talking about, you got to come back. You all got to see this. We got a video of all of Obama's biggest gaffes. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. And I'm going, gaffes? What gaffes?
Yeah, he played one clip of Obama saying Cuatro de Mayo or something like that.
That was a joke. It wasn't a
gaffe. It was a joke.
Yeah,
because they met on the 4th of
May.
Yeah.
And
so why is this man using my air?
I don't know. He's sucking up oxygen that normal people could be using.
I think Dick Morris is sucking up a little more oxygen than Sean Hannity, though.
Yeah, Keith even made Obama one of the worst people in the world because of that joke. Cinco de Cuatro.
That was
Cinco
a joke.
De Cuatro. Yeah.
Because they weren't meeting on May 5th.
Laughed.
They were meeting on May 4th. Everybody laughed. And then he said, we do like to get ahead of things here at the Obama White House, whatever.
But 5 of 4?
A
Cuatro de Mayo.
Listen, if that's the biggest mistake he makes, then yay, okay.
Yeah, and Hannity is saying that's proof that Obama can't speak without a teleprompter.
He read from his teleprompter.
Let me see. Iraq War or the Cinco de Cuatro. I'll go with this. Sean Hannity didn't like. Okay. 43 minutes after the hour. Elizabeth Edwards on Oprah tomorrow.
This is heartbreaking.
We have some audio for you. We'll play it next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
See, that wasn't so bad, was it?
Oh, I gotta say, that was fantastic.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 48 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. John in L.A., you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
I got a quick resolution to fix the problem about Texas wanting to secede.
Uh-huh.
We let them secede so Mexico can take them back, and they can come running like little girls back to us, and let D.C. become a state because they truly want to be part of this country.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go, and take the swine flu with you. Goodbye, Texas.
Change any of the stars on the flag. Dump Texas and add D.C. Good plan.
Oh, dear. All right. There has been, sadly, the first swine flu death, it looks like, in the United States. Yep. A 33-year-old woman who just gave birth to a healthy baby. She had underlying health problems.
Mm-hmm.
Kathleen Sebelius, the Health and Human Services Secretary, though, talking about
this
swine
virus
flu.
Does not seem to be as severe as we once thought it could be.
All right. Patrick in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on our Republican friends. Hello, Patrick.
Hi, Stephanie. Hey, regarding the GOP rebranding effort that they're going through, I have an idea that I think actually seems sane enough that it would actually work for them, and I was wondering if you think it would work or if a person attempting this would just get ground into the dust by the right wing. And my idea is the next time Rush or Sean or somebody like that goes into one of their predictably racist, sexist, or generally offensive salvos they go on every week, what if one of the GOP senators or congressmen just, did the adult thing and stood up and said, that's enough. I'm not going to stand behind this. Rush doesn't speak for me, doesn't speak for me as a Republican.
Well, they have done that, and then they immediately go groveling to kiss his anal cyst-infected ass.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. But what if somebody just stood there? I mean, I'm a progressive, and I'm not really into the GOP. I'm not trying to give them pointers. But what if somebody just stood up and said, that's enough, and didn't back down on it? Do you think that the right wing would get behind
somebody
like that?
Well, that would be,
just grind them into the ground?
That would be good if they would do that, but they won't because they're little weenies that are afraid of Rush.
Do you think you'll ever have that power with Harry Reid and Tim Kaine?
Oh, they already quake in my presence. Dwayne in Madison on the president. Hello, Dwayne.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. I want to know the reason why when the president took Joe Biden out for a hamburger, and they wanted he said it was on the House, but the president insisted on paying. Mm-hmm. But why you think he did that?
Because he wanted to pay for his hamburger?
Right.
Yeah, because he wanted to pay for his hamburger. He didn't want it for free. He even put money in the tip jar.
Yes, he said he will gladly pay you today for the price of a burger.
Whatever.
That seems to be the only issue in that guy's life. All right, well...
Why did he pay for his burger? Because he got a burger.
Because it would have been in the entire What the Fox yesterday, all over the Fox Network.
He didn't pay for the burger.
He's a socialist.
Socialist cheapskate.
We should all have free... burger. Okay. All right.
I'm running out of breath. This is so huge.
Okay. Let's.
Oh dear.
Let's move on to the. I can't get enough of the rebranding of the Republican Party. It's just a. You know what it is? It's like if you ever taken. You've done this because you're a cheese lover like I am.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever taken cheese out and it has mold and stuff on it, but you're like, nah, I'll just cut that off and it'll be the same.
Well,
fine.
Yeah, for cheese, that is fine.
Yeah.
With bread, it isn't, though, because the spores actually
I've done that with bread, too.
No, you know, the roots of the spores go way further into the bread than you can see.
That's bad news for me,
then. So don't do that.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, my point is, that's what the Republican Party's doing. They're just, it's the thing you dust off and it's fine, and it's really the same thing. They're just repackaging the same thing with mold on it. That was my point.
Okay. Some cheeses are supposed to be moldy.
Thank you, Jim. Michael Steele has an interesting message for moderates. During a press conference, he said moderates are welcome to join the Republican Party as long as they shut the hell up.
Right.
No, don't speak.
Wow.
Don't speak. Don't
They're
speak.
All inclusive,
silence,
aren't they?
Silence. Don't speak.
It's not just a big tent. It's a quiet tent. They want it to be a big tent, but all y'all's... Shh. He said, all you moderates out there, y'all come. I mean, that's the message. The message of this party is this is a big table for everyone to have a seat. I have a place setting with your name on the front, but...
Just shut the F up.
Understand that when you come into someone's house, you're not looking to change it. You come in here because that's the place you want to be.
Wow. Oh, my God.
He also had tough words about Arlen Specter's support for the stimulus. He said, so you voted yourself out of the party. We didn't kick you out. Does Steele think that Olympia Snow and Susan Collins from Maine, who also voted for the stimulus, voted themselves out of the party, too? Get out!
They're really trying to be the minority party. And not just because they have a minority in Michael Steele.
It's because they're kicking out all of the moderates.
Yeah. Yep. Here's an entertaining edition of Republicans eating their own. Kentucky's other senator, Jim Bunning.
Yeah.
He blames Mitch McChinless for all the Republican Party's problems.
Oh.
And it's time for another episode of Republicans Eating Their Own.
He called him selfish and a poor leader. He said, good God, he wants to run everybody, he said to McConnell during a press conference with reporters.
Cool. Circular firing squad.
They're really starting to sound like Democrats over there in the Republican Party. You know, just sniping at each other.
Okay.
Let's
go to Bob in Orange County on our friends on the Fox News. Hello, Bob.
It's Rob.
Pardon me, Rob. Go ahead.
Hey, you guys. Listen, I was thinking, you know how the ratings are always really positive for Fox News, and they always say how they're up? But what is the percentage of people that listen out of humor? Because I don't watch O'Reilly out of seriousness. And if you take the other side, how many conservatives are going to watch Rachel Maddow for humor, you know?
I've said that before about Fox. It's because crazy is entertaining, and they're all crazy. Glenn Beck and Bill O'Reilly are certifiably crazy.
So that has to be taken into account, because I think at least like 20 or 30% of their giant, people that watch are just watching for, as a joke.
Yeah, I agree.
Drinking games.
What's that? Exactly. Exactly.
Every time Sean Hannity runs out of breath, take a shot.
Take a shot. Tim and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Caribou Barbie. Hello, Tim.
Good morning. I'm beginning to think that, Rush Limbaugh and Caribou Barbie are having a torrid affair. Because, every single time someone bashes the panel, and he's up to the fender immediately. And quite frankly, I think the whole Republican Party is just on their knees digging through fat bolts trying to find that certain appendage of Rush so they can make him happy.
Maybe it reminds her of dressing a moose. Maybe that's...
Maybe it does. I don't know. Maybe, how they're going to break up is she's going to hunt for Rush.
There you go. Oof. All right, Jack and... I'm sorry, I'm a woman. I'm just picturing anybody having those fat folds smacking you. Okay.
a little bit of really funny breaking news.
Yes, sir.
It seems that President Obama's newest opponent, who's writing him a bunch of angry letters, is named Clifford Assness. there's a story at abcnews.com about Mr. Assness.
And his assness.
Yes.
The assness of you.
Apparently he's been writing angry letters to President Obama.
Proving his assness.
Yes.
Yes, your assness.
Did you get that in the thought? No, I just pulled it out of my assness. Jack in Los Angeles, I'm the president. Hello, Jack.
Hey, that last caller. Hey, Fox News would be nothing without talk radio. It's purely an extension of it.
Yep.
So,
they is. That actually was their idea. It's talk radio on TV. Yep.
It is. I was calling about the big burger lunch news.
Yes.
And
we have breaking burger news again? All right.
No. I was calling about yesterday because it was so important those guys went out for a burger. My question is how much did that really cost us? I have a feeling that was about a $50,000 lunch.
So
they could go and get their little photo op.
I'll stay tuned for what Fox tonight, because that's important to me, how much that burger cost me. Oh, dear. 57 minutes after the hour, Lieutenant General Russell Honoré, who saved New Orleans after Katrina, on the Celebrity Hotline, and much more next hour on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Lieutenant General Russell Honoré on the Newsmaker Hotline this hour. He has a new book out, Survival, How a Culture of Preparedness Can Save You and Your Family from Disaster.
Yep.
And he knows from disasters because he helped the Bush administration out after Hurricane Katrina. He's the man that actually saved New Orleans after.
Yeah, pretty much.
The Bush administration marched that up.
We had an earthquake last week, a few days ago.
We did.
Yes.
Oh.
4.4 in Westlake Village.
All right. WestStephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Crystal Boy, voice of deity, Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller. Ben Bernanke says things are looking up for the economy.
We think that the unemployment rate will probably peak early in 2010 and then come down relatively slowly after that. Currently, we don't think it's going to get to 10%. We're somewhere in the nines, but clearly that's way too high.
And Democrats in Congress trying to blind the Republicans with science about global warming. Henry Waxman.
Our committee attempting to develop a consensus. Many of the issues split us along regional basis.
Yeah, the Democrats need to get their crap together. Yeah.
What? They're not organized? I've never heard of such a thing about my party. What?
Well, this global warming bill is going to go down in defeat because the Democrats can't get their crap together.
You're kind of a gloomy Gus.
Well, I'm just pointing out what's going to be going on.
You don't know yet, for sure.
At least the Republicans are united against this thing.
They're united against everything, except for free twisted bread.
Well, yeah.
Okay. All right. By the way, at StephanieMiller.com, my personal favorite segment is the gallery segment. Why? Mommy's new puppy's there.
Oliver!
Ollie, my new, he's... Yes! He's 11 weeks old. He's a Tibetan Mastiff, a Great Pyrenees mix that I rescued from Gentle Giants Rescue. He's a... He is hilarious. By the way, so somebody, what's her name? Oh, Annis wrote me an email. She also got a dog from Gentle Giants, but I love the subject line. Can you see that, Jim? The dog I got from Gentile Giants.
Yeah. Gentile? Oh.
I would like to correct that. I believe there are Jewish dogs and Jewish people do adopt from the Gentle Giants. It is not the Gentile Giants, as far as I know. But I think this could be bad news for Mama. Hi, Mama. My name is Anas, and I just wanted to send you a picture of the dog I just got from Gentle Giants in Norco. His name is Lion. He's a Spanish Mastiff, 230 pounds.
Yikes.
She sent me some...
A dog should not be that big.
That's a large dog. I think Oliver's going to be...
It might be the steroids of the HGH and things of this nature.
When that dog sits around the house, it actually sits around the house.
In his chewy phase. Who likes
That's
to chew
cute.
Things? Who likes to chew?
So you'll be buying new furniture soon?
Oliver does.
Jazz never got out of his chewing phase.
Okay, let's move on. You know that Miss California, Jim Squeezy. There's the. Have you seen the naked pictures yet?
I've seen partially clothed pictures, but not
no nip,
not actual nakeditude.
Mm-hmm. You know, I did point out earlier, God made both the gays and the real breasts.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
Yes.
All right. Oh, no! Miss Homophobe California, Miss California, nude pictures.
I'm going to do whatever it takes to protect marriage.
You can.
Such as?
Oh, my.
And?
Oh, my.
Now to those nude photos of Carrie Prejean. Images that may not sit very well with her conservative supporters.
Goodness gracious me, oh my.
I can assure you they were quite inappropriate.
Overnight, Prejean put out a statement saying, I am a Christian and I am a model.
Holy guacamole.
Models pose for pictures including lingerie and swimwear photos.
Hey now.
Prejean may also be in trouble with Miss California USA. Her contract with them prohibits her from being photographed in a state of partial or total nudity.
All I can really do is hold my head high and such as South Africa and Iraq.
Thank you, Ken Cleveland. Oh, by the way, that was the breaking news this morning. Miss California may be losing her crown.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, they're people from Miss USA and Miss California convening as we speak, along with Donald Trump.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, to see if they...
She's going to be fired.
They strip away
You're fired.
Her crown.
That could be huge.
Huge.
You said strip.
Hmm? Yes.
All right. We're gonna strip her of a crown because she's already stripped.
All right. Here is one from
Those
the drunk.
Fake boobs are huge.
Huge.
Thank you. Someone sent
You're
me.
Fired.
People send me drunk stack.
Yes.
About stories about people that are bigger drunks than I am.
I am not a drunk!
Jimmy, you've been on some road trips with me. I have not done this yet. A Russian artist was arrested after mixing wine and prescription drugs before allegedly drinking liquid soap and attacking flight attendants on a transatlantic flight.
Yeah. Apparently liquid soap had some alcohol in it. So
yes.
If you're a real alky,
really
drink liquid soap for the alcohol content.
I have not done that. I have mixed red wine with my dog's painkillers. However, I have not.
It's a combination of low self-esteem, low blood sugar, and mixing red wine with my dog's painkillers.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Thank you. Galina Rusanov is accused of punching and kicking flight attendants and at one point snapping like a dog while trying to bite a crew member's leg after she drank the liquid soap.
Mm.
So,
also,
I have not done that on a flight, nor have I defecated on a food cart.
As anyone who saw the very special episode of Family Ties with Tom Hanks, drunks also go after the vanilla extract.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I saw that one.
That sounds better than liquid than soap. Than liquid soap, yeah. Vanilla extract is like 20% alcohol or something like that, yeah.
All right. Lots of talk about the car companies these days in the U.S. of A. So check this out. In Britain, they made a car that runs on chocolate.
Oh, that's great. I was just reading about that.
That's so Willy Wonky-y, isn't it?
Kinda.
A team of British engineers has designed it's a 150-mile-per-hour race car, Jim.
It's a race car?
Mm-hmm. They've designed a car that not only runs on a fuel derived from the tasty treat, it's also largely constructed from parts derived from vegetables. The steering wheel of the open cockpit car constructed from carrot fibers, the foam in the seats from soybeans, which probably is good because it, you know, smells the same. The rearview mirrors and body panels are produced from the starch of potatoes. Even the brakes are based on cashew nut shells, and it runs on chocolate.
Mm. Call me when they make a car that runs on cheese.
Cheese.
Yeah.
They,
use Velveeta for instant oil. For a car that runs out of tater tots covered with cheese.
For someone that loves cheese that much, you do not have good taste in cheese.
What? No, I love all kinds of cheese.
Yes, but you said if you're going to have it on your tater tots, it has to be orange.
Well, tater tots, kind.
Cheddar is orange.
Well, tater tots are formed pieces of potato. It's not like a real potato.
Grease.
So you need to have
fake cheese with fake potatoes.
Yes, pasteurized processed cheese food to go on your fake potato. I mean, that's the American way.
Okay. I dare you to go to France and order just the orange kind of cheese.
Well,
kind would you like? To orange?
I'm not going to order cheese whiz when I go to France.
Ruiz de fromage.
Mm-hmm. All right. We mentioned earlier Elizabeth Edwards will be on Oprah tomorrow.
Oh. Yeah, this is heartbreaking.
No, this whole story just makes you a little...
I just threw up in my mouth
so
a little bit.
So glad you didn't get the nomination. Wow.
Okay, she talks about John meeting this woman he had the affair with.
What? John had said is this woman had spotted him in the hotel in which he was staying. He was meeting with someone in the restaurant bar area, and she had verified with someone who John worked with that it was John. And then John had gone to dinner. I didn't speak to her then, but he'd gone to dinner at a nearby restaurant. And then he had walked back to the hotel, and when he walked back, she was standing in front of the hotel. And said to him, you are so hot, I can't deliver it because I don't know how you deliver such a line as that. But, you know, you are so hot are the words she said to him. And it started
She probably said it a little differently.
You think so?
You are so hot.
Yeah, you want to try? No. Yeah, I'm not going there in any way.
You're not going there in any way.
Oy vey. Oh, God. This is just...
really hear the sadness in her voice, and it's...
Yeah, I know. She's trying to, like, make light of it, and, oh, God, but she's dealing with her cancer, and... okay, so I guess the breaking news from all this that was on the shows last night is... I don't want to go on a limb here, but clearly this appears to me like this is his baby, you know, but he's denied that it's his baby, but I don't even know what the deal is. They haven't taken a DNA test, right?
No.
Hmm.
It's just, it all seems, anyway, so Elizabeth Edwards did not, she didn't deny that it's his baby.
The other woman has a baby.
That's what I understand.
And there is great speculation that your husband, John Edwards, is the father of that baby.
Right. That's what I understand. I've seen a picture of the baby. I have no idea. It doesn't look like my children, but I don't have any idea.
Mm-hmm. You must have thought, is it or is it not?
So if she didn't deny that, that just smacks of a deal to me, doesn't it? I think that she's refused a DNA test, so clearly to me it's like she took money or whatever to not take a DNA.
So Elizabeth doesn't know, so she couldn't answer that question.
Yeah.
God. It just
makes you sick.
What a bastard.
All right, one more Oprah and Elizabeth.
You asked your husband for just one gift when you got married. What was that?
I wanted him to be faithful to me. It was enormously important to me.
You said no rings, no flowers.
Yeah, I'm not, this is a necklace of my mother's, but I'm not much of a jewelry person.
Mm-hmm.
I actually jammed my finger, so I can't even wear my wedding ring right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't care about those kinds of things, but it was really important to me.
Okay. Mm. Oh.
I can't believe I supported that man.
Yeah, I know.
To be president.
I wonder how she jammed her finger, just out of curiosity. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. Okay. Yay for Elizabeth Edwards. That's what we say.
So much
grace. She's brave, too. I mean, not only the books that she's, written talking about her cancer. Yeah. It's just, it's personal stuff that's very painful. But, Anyway, love us some Elizabeth Edwards. We've had her on before.
Yes, we have.
And she is, we just love her. I think she's funny and warm and great and all right.
Yeah.
Okay, someone who is not funny and warm and great, Congresswoman Virginia Fox of the...
Her.
She's a Republican from Virginia. Her name's Virginia.
Yeah, she's from North Carolina, which is one
Virginia.
State south.
There is a Santa Claus, and he is from North Carolina, I guess, like Virginia Fox.
Yes, it's right next to the North Pole.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, she is the Republican that on the House floor called Matthew Shepard's death a hoax, with Judy Shepard sitting
idiot.
Right... There. Yes.
God.
She's opposed, as you'll be shocked to tell, to the federal hate crimes legislation that passed. She's now written a letter of apology to Judy Shepard. During a recent debate on the bill, she labeled his death a hoax, and she said that he was killed during a robbery and not because he was gay. Except that if she'd done your basic Google search, she would find out that the guys that killed him said it's because he was gay.
That's what some of these people do now because of hate crime legislation. They'll, after beating the crap out of someone, take their wallet just to make it look like it was a straight burglar.
Yeah.
Robbery.
Yeah. So the only thing she really apologizes for is the word. That, maybe I used the wrong word. No, you got all of the facts of the case wrong in the first place.
I dare say that would make her stupid.
Yes. She said she wrote
a... I'm sorry if you were offended.
Yeah, she wrote a handwritten note to Mrs. Shepard saying, if I said anything that offended her... What?
God, I hate that kind of apology.
Yeah, why would that offend her? I certainly apologize for it.
I apologize for you being so stupid as to misconstrue my brilliant words.
I apologize that you...
Thanks.
All right, 20 minutes after the hour, California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger's thoughts about marijuana and things of this nature.
And these kinds of things.
Exactly, as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
The mere fact that I'm a breathy boy, full sensual lips and a steaming hot body doesn't make me a bimbo.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Todd in Orange County, your dad ran against Virginia Fox?
Yes, my dad is Roy Carter. He ran against Virginia Fox this past November.
Oh,
and,
wow.
I know all too well her evil, wicked ways.
Wow. That's too bad he didn't win.
Yeah, tell me about it. He's a progressive Democrat from the South, from North Carolina, a football coach, can you believe it? And but I got to tell you, her voting record, this is no surprise. I mean, it's no surprise the way she slandered me and my family during the campaign. I'm openly gay, and she has no soul.
Yep.
So,
well, the thing is, if people would at least, if the Republicans would at least use facts, like we always say, they're not entitled to their own set of facts. When you've got such a well-known crime on record as being because Matthew Shepard was gay, I mean, that's just beyond the pale.
Did she try and smear your family because you're openly gay?
Oh, yes. and
what a bitch
from everything. And I'll tell you this, and I'll lay part of the fault with HRC. And you know, my dad was in D.C. several times, and point blank told them, told the DNC, told the DCCC, look, he told HRC point blank, if you want a guy who'll vote 100% for your score, 100% on your scorecard, you're going to support me. He got no institutional support, so I'm a little pissed at the HRC because they're disingenuous. They had a chance to do something to get her out, and they did nothing.
Todd, how did she smear? I mean, how did she use your gayness to smear your family?
It was I'm one of the degenerates of society.
Oh.
She mentioned mentioned that during the campaign.
Her staff.
Of course, she had henchmen do it.
Staff. So it was quite an experience, I got to tell you. I'll tell you, her apology, she's gotten herself in hot water several times, and her apology is the same every single time. It does not change.
Yep. It's always, I'm sorry if you're too sensitive.
Right. Yeah. She doesn't care. And I got to tell you, the only thing she believes in is no government, except she's happy to take a government paycheck and get government health care.
Of course.
She believes in nothing else.
Right.
Yep.
One of her big lines was, she doesn't believe in the education department. She thinks the education department should be abolished because she couldn't find the word education in the Constitution.
Yeah.
One
yeah.
of her favorite lines.
I'm telling you, some of these Republicans, like her and Michelle Bachmann, I mean, they are just unbelievable embarrassments, you know?
Yeah, they're the wrong kind of bosom buddies. I mean,
Yeah, I mean, they are just completely facts and intelligence free, in my opinion. Wow.
No, that's also heartbreaking that she did that to his family.
Mm-hmm. Bob in Arlington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hi, Steph.
Hi, go ahead.
I was just wondering if you're as nervous to talk to me as I am talking to you.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I thought so. I wanted to empathize with Elizabeth Edwards.
Don't empathize. Finger. That'll make you a judicial activist.
Well, I jammed my finger and can no longer wear my wedding ring.
Oh, really? How did you jam your finger?
I had taken it off to play volleyball and jammed the finger, and now I can't put it back on.
I imagine she jammed her finger punching John in the face.
I did not punch my spouse.
Okay.
We don't know that to be a fact.
Well, I hope that's what happened.
Oh, Christopher.
I'm pissed.
Leanne in Los Angeles on John Edwards. Hello, Leanne.
Hi. I just thought it was so easy for that woman to pick up on John Edwards. How many other women have walked up to him and said, you're hot, and he ran off with them? I mean,
yeah.
He can't. That can't
yeah, she, I agree with Elizabeth Edwards. That woman sounds pathetic, but I know what you mean, you know?
Can I make a quick comment about the guy who called earlier complaining about the burger run?
Wait, hang on. We'll have to take a quick break, and then we will take that and Lieutenant General Russell Honore, who saved New Orleans after Katrina, as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller, a lovely girl who came from beyond the stars to spot in the sea.
How's that working out for you, the spotting in the sea?
Pretty good, thanks.
Do you miss Beyond the Stars?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I do, indeed. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Stephanie Miller Show, 33 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. I know, Jim, you've said over and over again, thank God George Bush saved New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina.
That was the greatest. What?
No, that's not who did. Why? Who is it, Christopher?
It's the author of the brand new book, Survival, How a Culture of Preparedness Can Save You and Your Family from Disasters, Lieutenant General Russell Honore.
Heck of a job.
Good morning, Lieutenant General.
Good morning, Stephanie, Chris, Jim. How y'all doing?
We're good. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine. Sound like y'all dodging fires out there again.
Well, yeah, we got some fires starting up down here. So
yeah, we need you.
Yeah, we need your book, actually.
I know. I'm an emergency spaz, so I need you actually come live with me for a while. And
book's on the way.
We had an earthquake a couple days ago.
Too. Yeah. Lieutenant General, tell us what you did, case people don't know, after Hurricane Katrina.
Well, I led about 20,000 federal troops and about 20 ships and 200 helicopters in the evacuation of the city of New Orleans, along with a lot of help from National Guard, to include California State Highway patrolmen who showed up to help. So we had a lot of help from around the country, and the big thing was to evacuate the people and try to keep the city calm and take care of people and save their lives.
I have to get, you know, I have to get your take on this, since what we're going through currently, the swine flu, it's not a pandemic yet, but it may be. It seems to me like the Obama administration is getting out ahead of this. It seems like that's kind of the key, isn't it, behind, you know, it's being prepared ahead of time. I mean, Hurricane Katrina was a case study in not being prepared, right?
Well, I think every government official, those elected, has said, not on my watch, to the lessons learned. I mean, nobody went into Katrina intentionally ignoring it, but there were a lot of things the government possibly could have done earlier that could have helped the people. And I think you've seen since Katrina, even the fires out in California and other places, where governors are a lot more active early on in trying to resolve and in asking for federal help.
Right. Well, so, I mean, you mentioned the fires out here. We have earthquakes. Tell us what, there's so much to prepare, and I know that I never do it right. Tell us how we prepare for stuff like that.
Well, number one is just a three-step plan. Number one, have a plan to evacuate. Where are you going to go to and how are you going to get there? Number two, have a three-day supply of food and water in your home in case you have to shelter in place. You've got to always remember, you may not be able to move from your home. You may be isolated, or you may be without power and still be able to shelter at home. And number three, every American ought to have a NOAA weather radio. Mm-hmm. So if then they lose power, they can still listen to you, Steph.
Well, Lieutenant General, that's the best tip I've ever heard. You know, it's interesting. I hear you because what happens is when we have something like, you know, the last, I think it was wildfires came pretty close to my house. You do your preparedness in this kit, and then what happens is I start taking things out of it. I'm like, oh, I need that now. But you're saying 3 days worth, right, of food and...
And water.
Okay.
And water and medicines. To have that on hand, because you may have to shelter at home. Now, on the brush fire thing, I think we need to be a lot more encouraging to our local governments to do a burn early, intentionally burn that stuff away from people's houses, because you got so much fuel out there in California. Anytime a fire starts, you basically live in the desert, and the two don't mix. We've planted a lot of trees and bushes close to our homes there, and I try to cover some of that in the book. But that's a lot of ground that need to be burned periodically. If you don't, it gets out of control, then it can't be controlled.
What? Now, it seemed like one of the, you know, the big problems, obviously, in Katrina, that was misunderstood. People are like, well, why didn't they just leave? Well, a lot of times, like you talk about, everything always hits the poor and the elderly harder if they may not have their own cars, right?
You're right, Steph, because, you know, this is the 29th of the month. Those people who live on government paychecks, the elderly, the disabled, and the poor, and there's a ninth ward in every city, and that's where the poor people live, they didn't have the means to live, because 80% of the region actually evacuated in Mississippi and Louisiana. It was primarily the poor people that had no means of getting out that stayed in the city and hoping that this would just be another hurricane that would pass, and the next day they could go back to their homes. Unfortunately, the levees broke, and their homes flooded.
Mm-hmm. I just rescued a puppy, and I have another 150-pound dog, because that was one of the things for me as an animal lover that, you know, was one of the other tragedies of Hurricane Katrina, is all these poor pets that were lost. So you have to have a plan even for that, right?
Absolutely. Pets and horses. And, as you have there in a lot of the rural area in California, and as people head down to South Louisiana, you have to have a plan to get those animals out before the event occurs. If it's something like a fire or a hurricane coming, you can't leave them in there on their own.
Right. Oh, and listen, I'm one of those people, I would go down with the dogs. I would never leave the dogs. So, but you're right. You have to think of stuff like that in advance, particularly if they're large like mine are, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this last hurricane season, FEMA actually changed the rules, where they had a plan for dogs. Again, a lesson learned from Katrina to have a plan for the animals. So they had volunteers come in, and people, as they got on buses and moved out on airplanes, handed their pets over to volunteers who had organized to take care of those animals.
Mm-hmm. Here's one question I always want to ask, because, you know, out here in California, and I'm sure this happens everywhere, whether it's storms or earthquakes, or sometimes we have power outages, even just, you know, because of the electricity grid when it gets too hot out here. What is your take on generators? Because every time I think, oh, I should get a generator, but they can also be dangerous, right?
They can. I mean, it's just like a car or a gun. If you misuse it, it could kill you. Mm-hmm. But having a generator, you can save your family, and you may be able to take care of an elderly person or a home or an infant who can't live in that heat. You think about what would happen when, at the height of summertime, if you lose power out in the California desert. If you have elderly or young babies, they will need some way to be cooled, because many of our homes now, the way they're built, they don't naturally have a airflow through them.
Right.
If you've got a generator, you might be able to save somebody's life.
Well, and you know, sometimes obviously it goes on for days, but first of all, like, how much are generators? Because you can get, you know, cheap ones, right? But like you're saying, sometimes it can be dangerous.
Right. I mean, you can get anywhere from a Chevrolet to a Cadillac when it comes to generators in terms of prices. But what most people get is something so they could shelter at home, but they have to be well ventilated. They have to be hooked up properly. So if you go to get a generator, make sure you consult with how to safely install it and where to put it, because we lose a lot of people to put their generators too close to the home, and the carbon monoxide come in and kill them.
Yeah, wow. So don't get one at a pawn shop, I'm guessing.
No, I mean, you know, you get it where you can. It might be a good deal on some generators now, hardest times are. But if you get it, install it properly.
Right. How much are the, like, just give us a range. How much are the most expensive ones? How much are the cheapest ones?
Well, you can get one for less than $1,000 that'll run your refrigerator.
Right.
And run a couple of lights. Now, it probably won't run your air conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
But you can get one that'll run the entire house for about the price of what you pay for a good bass boat.
A good what?
A good bass boat.
Bass boat.
Oh, a bass boat. Yeah. You know, Lieutenant General, I have not bought a bass boat, at least in the last couple of months. So how much?
$10,000. You can
$10,000 for a good one.
Wow. Have a bass guitar.
It'll run everything. It'll run the air conditioning, most all of your lighting, or just one floor of your home. So you can get a good one at that price.
Wow. And I would suggest that as opposed to a bass boat. I don't mean to offend fishermen out there, but it would seem like if you have an extra $10,000 laying around. All right. Lieutenant General, thank you so much for taking time for us. The book is Survival, How a Culture of Preparedness Can Save You and Your Family from Disasters. Thank you so much for coming on with us.
And, Stephanie, we need the California law to pass to make it a requirement that drugstores and gas stations have generators, because if people can get gas and they get their medicine, they can stay alive, because with the gas they can leave, and with the medicine they can shelter at home.
Absolutely. That's a great idea.
Terrific. Lieutenant General, thank you so much.
And thank you all. Have a good day out in L.A.
All right. Okay, thank you so much. Thank you, sir. All right. He must run his house like Patton. There's got to be flashlights like every 2 inches around that joint. I have never felt like such a liberal elite, such a fancy big city liberal. Thought the price of a bass boat was.
What?
How much does that cost? See, Ed Schultz would have known that. Oh, you're talking about $10,000.
Well, Lieutenant General Russell Honore is of Creole descent. So, you know, they know from bass boats. They know from bass boats.
Let me just say that is not something you hear in circles in Los Angeles.
In Louisiana.
How much was that? About as much as a bass boat. Huh?
What?
Guy. Okay.
I like him.
How much cocaine is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like him. He was great. I love him.
Yeah, he's great. 43 minutes after the hour. Our inspector misspoke when he said he hopes Norm Coleman wins in Minnesota. Oh, this breaking news, Arlen. Norm Coleman lost, and you're a Democrat now. Back with all of that and much more. 43 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
No need to thank us. It's what we do.
Who the hell are you guys?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Speaking of which, the CEO of Ashley Madison will be on with us tomorrow.
Yeah.
They're that service that they provide an opportunity for you to
promote adultery.
Cheat on your spouse if you like to, discreetly.
Those commercials have been a big elephant
in the living room.
Yes.
That we
get all over the View and Nightline, and we will we run ads on our show.
Yes.
Why? Because we'll take anyone's money.
In this economy, hell to the yeah.
1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number toll free from anywhere. If only John Edwards had used Ashley Madison. Hello, Kevin in D.C. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Stephanie. Boy, what a segue.
Yes.
Well, unlike some right-wing pundits who arrogantly think they know everything and talk in that manner, I admit, you know, I've only been on the planet a second, so I don't know everything, so I'm just asking as a question. As much as you're playing those clips of Elizabeth, because we discussed this a while back, I believe, when the first
Elizabeth Edwards,
Yeah, and I kind of defended him. Again, hearing those clips of her, you would be inhuman not to feel bad for her, and I do. But I'm just asking, because I'm consistent. When the rumors about John McCain, about his lobbyists during the campaign came out, I would, the same way with Clinton, I would have said, if it turned out even that he was cheating with her, that wouldn't, to me, disqualify from the government, because that's their business. So I'm just saying, as bad as this is with her, should that disqualify someone from government?
Yeah, but I mean, the problem is he got caught lying about it, and I think there's the added unfortunate thing that Elizabeth is battling cancer. You know, the whole story is just very sad.
And you know what? It says something about his character. And to be in government, you need to have as much character as you can.
You're absolutely right. But may I just say, and the two gentlemen I'm about to name are world renowned, respected, and known. Think bad on, but again, using that criteria, you would have to disqualify Martin Luther King and John F. Kennedy, just named two great men in history who have apparently strayed. And I'm not, I want to say over and over again.
I think even when someone's on your side politically, like John Edwards, I think it's just you can't defend that. At least I can't, you know. Personally,
I'm saying I would not. You know, this really makes me think. Not twice, 100 times about him. I'm just saying, if you're going to say if you cheat, then you're not qualified to govern.
I
don't know if that's
for me. It's not just the cheating; it's the fact that he cheated on her while she was fighting cancer.
And got caught lying about it repeatedly. You know, I mean, it's you're right. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, I said that, as you know, all through the Clinton impeachment, you know, private life is private, and it never should have been our business in the first place. So,
right. And no matter what political party, like I said, that's why when the thing with John McCain, I said, I don't want to hear about it. There's many other reasons why I disagree with John McCain being president than that. But I agree with you. This is particularly sad.
You're right. I was much more interested in the fact that his wife was banging a used car salesman. Allegedly. I'm just saying. If you're going to talk about things in the tabloids. Carrie in Wisconsin, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, Steph. Hey, Jim. Hey, Chris.
Hi.
I am from Laramie, Wyoming. And I was my brother-in-law was the bartender. My brother
at
my
the bar
brother,
where Matthew Shepard was
picked. At the bar where he was drinking earlier that night.
Wow!
God. I will preface that I grew up in the 80s and we have a really huge gay population. Never a big deal, you know. I mean, my cousin and his partner are the guardians of my kids. I have four. Should anything happen to them, so. But Laramie was really misconstrued, and to have some stupid psychotic maniac say that it was a robbery is a total joke. Matthew was great. I was there when we had our annual, we have like a Jubilee parade. When I was a kid, I would ride the horse, Wyoming, gotta love it, to announce the parade. My dad was the announcer, and when it happened, we had three green circles on a yellow piece of paper that we all put in our cars, and we had a lot of people that would throw rocks through the windows and say, you can't do that. So there is a lot of hate, but I will tell you that if you've seen the Laramie Project, the movie was made as well as the play, it's very true to how we felt, because I will never forget during the parade when everybody joined the parade, and that's what happened in the movie, and it was true. And he was beaten to death because he was freaking gay, which is so stupid.
Yeah. Yep. I know. So. I know. Well, that's the problem with, you know, Virginia Fox bringing back what was such a painful incident and, you know, making it out to be a joke, you know.
I had just had my little twins who were just born, and we all supported Matthew and his family, and Laramie kind of took a beating. We moved to Wisconsin right after it happened, and you know, I was hesitant to say I was from Laramie because everybody had this connotation that we were a bunch of
homophobes.
Homophobes, and which obviously we're not, but it was absolutely a hate crime. Like I said, my brother actually graduated high school with Russell and Aaron, the two jackasses that beat that kid to death, and I would drive by that fence every day, and thank God that somebody noticed him there because he could have been there for a really long time before somebody found his body. So
absolutely.
It should never have happened. It was horrible.
Carrie, thanks for that. I appreciate you calling.
Thanks, Steph.
All righty. See you, Carrie. All right. Virginia Fox once again.
You are an idiot.
And her office made a point of saying she sent a handwritten note
Judy Shadwell.
Saying
how she looks so pleasant. It's hard to imagine.
She's a handsome woman.
Okay. California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger said he welcomes a public debate on proposals to legalize and tax marijuana. Oh, it's some suggest could provide a lucrative new revenue source for our cash-strapped state out here in California.
Cowabunga and things of this nature.
Exactly. That's exactly what the governor said. He said cowabunga and things of this nature. He, as the former Hollywood actor, has admitted to smoking marijuana in the past.
Yes, he has.
56% of California voters support the idea of legalizing marijuana and taxing its proceeds. It's our largest cash crop, you know. And imagine what we would do for the tow industry, meaning the tow food group.
Cheetos, Doritos, Tostitos, Fritos,
Velveeto.
Okay, Arlen Specter, who said he hopes Norm Coleman wins yesterday.
He
conclusively misspoke.
Which I meant the other guy, whose name escapes me right now.
Franken.
The Democrat from the Democrat Party.
He said, in the swirl of moving from one caucus to another, you know how swirly that gets.
Yeah, real.
Swirly. I have to get used to my new teammates. I'm looking for more Democratic members. That's what I meant. Nothing personal.
Yes, of course.
I don't hate Al Franken with the heat of 1,000 white hot suns. What?
What the hell?
Yeah, meanwhile, his former party, the headline is, for GOP, it's Coleman or bust. And because they're talking about Arlen Specter's defection, they've made it, now they're going to be even more.
Yep.
If there is time past when hell freezes over, that's how long they're going to take this. It's provided a strong incentive for Republicans to hold out until every last appeal is exhausted. They're prepared to back Norm Coleman's appeal to the federal level now. Senator John Cornyn said this makes it pretty darn important. By that he means important for Minnesota to be without two senators so that they can... He said, I would assume if they were unsuccessful in the Minnesota Supreme Court, they may very well be an appeal to the United States Supreme Court. Democrats, meanwhile, mounting a fresh campaign to pressure Governor Tim Pawlenty into signing the election certificate once the state Supreme Court rules, which I think he legally, technically, he's supposed to. I don't. Meanwhile, Al Franken says he intends to emulate former Senator Hillary Clinton once he reaches the U.S. Senate.
There are worse people to emulate.
Winning respect by downplaying his celebrity and letting his hard work do the talking for him. He said Hillary came in, which is true, to a certain amount of skepticism. Mm-hmm. They wondered, is she going to be a prima donna, use her celebrity? Is she going to be grabbing the microphone all the time? What she did was put her head down and work. So Senator Al Franken will be emulating former Senator Hillary Clinton.
He'll be wearing pantsuits.
He'll be wearing pantsuits. When former Senator Norm Coleman gets the hell out! Get out, Norm! Get out!
Empty chiclet boxes just littering Norm Coleman's old office when Franken moves in.
That's it for us. I'd like to thank Chris LaVoy, Jim Warden, Rebecca Baker. We will see you tomorrow on The Stephanie Miller Show.